Happy New Year again. You'll hear that all day long, won't you, huh? Happy New Year. Happy New Year. I'm glad it's a new year. I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad you chose to be here on a Sunday, on the Lord's Day. So preparing for a new year. That's what's on the screen, preparing for a new year. And how we go about that, all sorts of ways, I guess. But here it is, and we want to be prepared for what the Lord has in store for us. One of the things that the Church of God movement in Anderson and throughout the country is promoting, that it's a year to reclaim what the devil has stolen. A year to reclaim what the devil has stolen. That's a good little phrase, I think. And God knows, on the local level, the state level, the national level, around the world, we need to reclaim what the devil has stolen in so many ways. So we want to prepare for the new year. Now, you might be here and say, man, I'm on top of the world spiritually. I've got it going on. I feel closer to the Lord right now, and I have it. I don't know when. Rejoice and keep going full steam ahead. You might be here and say, well, listen, I've had some difficulties that kind of brought me down. I just kind of like a fresh start in my spiritual walk. Well, praise the Lord. Let's get started with that fresh walk with the Lord. We all have some setbacks. We all have some tough times. We all have many joyous times in life. I guess that's why it's called life. But don't allow the setbacks in your life to rob you from the joy that the Lord wants to give you, okay? I've been guilty. You've probably been guilty of that sometime in your life. Don't allow the setbacks to rob you of your joy that the Lord wants to give you. On the screen, you'll see John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have life and to have it to the full. One version says abundant life, you know, have it abundantly. And the thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's the plan of God, for us to have life and have it to the full. He goes on to talk about that devil, how he steals and kills and destroys life. And the devil's good at that. He will remind us all of our mistakes from time to time, or bring up old sin or whatever that he can remind us of, for one purpose: to keep us from enjoying the good life God wants us to have. Now, do you find yourself in that category today? If you do, listen, the devil will try to hold you back. The devil will try to bring up everything he can in the past so you will not enjoy the present and the presence of the Lord. Don't allow him to do that this year. So I believe God always is looking to do something new in my life. Thank God I've learned one or two things, and I've got a lot more to learn. And God's always, not just on the first day of the year, but always wanting us to learn new things from His Word, and wanting us to do new things in our life. So I'm thankful God gives us a fresh start. I'm thankful that God wants to pour Himself into our lives, and He loves us and wants us to go forward. This time last year, probably, we said something along the line, well, I'm going to read my Bible more, or I'm going to pray more, or I'm going to be more involved in the church, or I'm going to spend more time with my kids, or I'm going to whatever, put it in the blank. And then we get to this time, and we have to go back and evaluate that and say, well, did I do those things? Sometimes we like our answers, and sometimes we don't. Isaiah 43:18 on the screen says, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. The Lord is more interested, I believe, with all my heart, in your future than He is the past. And you say, well, now, doesn't God care about my... Yes, He cares about your past, but if He's forgiven you of that past, He's looking to your future and wants to see good things happen in the future as well. God's interested in your future. I think, more than the past. And a lot of people get stuck in the past. Amen? They get stuck in the past. They can't allow, they won't forgive. They won't forgive something that happened 10 years ago or 5 years ago. And it just eats at them worse than it does anybody else. People won't forgive. People won't let the past go because of this, that, or the other. All sorts of reasons. We need to let the past go. And we need to look to the future. And we need to ask God to help us with the future. Forget the former things and don't dwell on the past. He has good things in store for us. If we'll just pray and listen and be involved with him. Well, Israel was being punished for the rebellion here, and they knew that, but at the same time, God was trying to bring encouragement to them. They knew how they had messed up, and some of them just thought, well, this is the end. God won't have anything to do with us. We've rebelled against God to the point that he's not going to do anything with us. Well, they begin to think about former things. They begin to think of things and times where they were delivered. They remembered when they were trapped there at the Red Sea, and somehow God made a way for them. They could remember that. They could remember the past or the former things, but they had a hard time looking to the future. They had a hard time with that. And God's saying, listen, forget those former things. Don't dwell on the past. I want to do a new thing. I want to do a new thing in everybody's life at Jones Chapel on an individual, personal level. I want to do a new thing in your family. I want to do a new thing in the body of Christ. I want to do a new thing, I pray, in the United States of America. I want to come, I want to see revival sweep the land. Do you want that? I was reading articles through Christmas about the people in India thanking us for supporting them, and Samuel Stevens, the president of the India Gospel League, sent Christmas card and different things, and I was reading all this, and quite honestly, I said, Lord, I'm somewhat jealous. God, I hear this and I see this and I know how real and how true it is, and I've experienced it a couple times in my life and how things are going on there. Why isn't Jones Chapel that way? Why isn't Clarkdale that way, or Mississippi, or the United States? I don't think God's forgotten the United States a bit. But I think that the people there are so hungry for truth. And they're moving away from what they knew in the past. And they're looking to the future with God, the Jesus, the Savior of the world, that takes away the sins of the world. And it's, yeah, you can say it's new to them. And some of them's never heard it. That's true. I've heard it all my life. You've heard it all your life. But some way, ask the Holy Spirit, God, let it be new to me. Let it be fresh to me that I can connect in an intimate relationship with you in 2017. Be with you in a minute. Woo. It might be 2 minutes. A little bit embarrassing, but I'll probably get over it. I hope you get over it too. Sometimes you think in your mind, I failed God. And there's no doubt that we, in 2016, I don't want to count how many times that I've fallen short. You know, you probably don't either. I failed God. Well, to some degree, all of us probably have failed God. Well, I've made so many mistakes. A man said to me one time, come that close to getting saved. But he didn't. That's the sad part of the story. He said, preacher, I've done so much wrong. I've done so much wrong and been so, on and he described, he said, God wouldn't want me. And I said, oh, but you're wrong. You're wrong. God does want you. Jesus does love you. And he just kept going back to how bad he had been, or how mean he had been, or what have you, how much sin he had committed, and God wouldn't want me. And I said, yes.
Thank you.
What about that? God answers prayer when you don't have time to pray. Oh, boy. Just one of those days. I've done so much wrong, God wouldn't have me. Oh, yes, he would. We went on with that story, the love of God, but he didn't get saved, and I sure wished he had. But he was remembering everything in the past, and he couldn't let go of it. The Lord could forgive it, but he just couldn't let go of it. Don't get stuck in the past, because God wants you to look at your future. Well, how do I failed. I've done this, but what? How can I restart this life? Look. With me, it's the S there. It says, stop making excuses. Is that where? Yeah, that's where we're at. Stop making excuses. If we're going to start, that's what we're going to spell out here, start. The S is stop making excuses. And you see, we all make plenty of them. We'll make excuses for this, that, or the other. Human beings are good at justifying what they want to justify for themselves. Now, is that true? Yes? A few agree with me. Must have been a rough night, huh? We're good at it, you know. We're good at justifying why we can or why we, you know, whatever, in life. So we got to stop making excuses. And if I want a fresh start in a personal level, a family, a church, or whatever, we got to quit making excuses. And we've got to not blame everybody else. Every problem that I have or you have is not somebody else's fault. Some of it's my own fault or your own fault. Is that right or wrong? This bunch is not speaking to me today, Lord. We can't blame everybody else. We can't just make all the excuses. Well, you know, somebody hurt me. I don't doubt that people will do that in the coming year. Somebody will hurt your feelings. And if you don't, if that's never happened to you, just go into the ministry. I guarantee it'll happen. Anybody feel led? Come on. Sometimes I guess I might hurt somebody's feelings, but I don't do it on purpose. But I guess I have. So, you know, somebody hurt me. That'll probably happen again. People can hurt your feelings. People can harm you. They can scar us. I realize that some things are very deep, too, and I'm not making light of it. But I just believe nobody can ruin my life but me. Now, somebody can take away this and take away that and hurt me and scar me and everything else, but I believe down deep inside, no matter what I go through, that it can be a terrible situation, and again, I'm not making light of terrible situations, but some way I've got some control of how I react and what I do. And with God's help, he says nothing's impossible with him, that I can get through it. And I might be changed and I might be all sorts of things, but I just don't believe that we ought to let everything else determine our outcome. So we got to stop making those excuses. Look with me at Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Makes a lot of sense. You get a fresh start. You get to go forward. And it's hard to admit sometimes when we're wrong. You know that, and I know it. Have any of you ever been wrong? One humble hand in the building. It's just hard for us. And then you say, well, no, it's just hard for you. Nope. It's across the line, whoever you are. It's hard to admit when we're wrong. I made a mistake. I blew it. It's just hard for humans to say. It's kind of like Noah was talking about the rain and all that, you know, this morning, and he started building the ark. Was it raining when he started building the ark? Nope. But the Lord had told him what to do. He said, I want you to prepare for this coming flood. And it didn't rain for how many years was it? What was it? You're about like me. We better go back and check, hadn't we? I think it was 120. Don't write that down in your notes this morning. Go look it up. See, you got some homework now. It was a long time. And you prepare, hey, prepare this ark. It's going to flood. The earth's going to be flooded. Well, he listened, and he saved him and his family. Why don't I like to listen to people? Why don't we like to listen to people? You know, that was good advice. Oh, Noah was giving. People didn't listen to it, though. And what happened to them? They perished. We need to listen to each other. We need to take the advice, especially of Holy Spirit-filled Christians that's been walking a while with the Lord, and listen to different people. And people don't like to do that sometimes because it's pride. It's ego. And the Bible says pride always leads to destruction. So the S in start stands for stop making excuses. Look at the next slide and you'll see a T there. Take an inventory of my life. You know, it's the first of the year. Take an inventory. Okay, I'm going to inventory these right here. Okay, SB, the guy with all the hair I'm jealous of. This guy, he don't have any hair hardly. And then that next row, boy, I'm going to get them good. 1, 2, 3, 4 of them. I'm taking an inventory of your life. And I'll tell you one thing right now, Scott. You could do a little better right here. Judy, I'll just let you. No, that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about taking an inventory of my life. Right? Of my life. And all you take inventory of your life. But I'm going to take inventory of my life to see what's happening here. To think about it a while. To not just brush it off, but to think about it and pray about it and see what's going on with me. You believe you can learn from your mistakes? You sure can if you choose to. We can learn from them. So failure can be your friend or it can be a foe, either one. It's according to us if we want to learn from them. Think of the experiences that God has used in your life to mold you into who you are today. Think of all your life's experiences now. Think about where you grew up. Think about who your parents were. Think about your children. Think about the jobs you've had. Think about the tragedies that you've had. Think about the things that you just in your mind. I don't understand why that happened. I don't have a clue. I don't like it. But it happened in this thing we call life. And God takes all that and he molds us, if we will allow him to, into his creation. And he uses all those experiences of life to make us who we are. And that's a good thing. So what have I learned from all that? What have I learned about all that God's been doing in my life? Well, we can have a fresh start too. We can have a friend in Jesus. We can have a friend on this side. We can have an accountability partner to help us stay on track in a new year. Now look at the next slide and you see it. There's your, we're going to stop making excuses. We're going to take inventory of my life, not everybody else's, of my life. And then we're going to act in faith. If we want to accomplish anything, we've got to act in faith. If you want to change anything, if I want to change anything in my personal life, it takes some faith to do that. If we want to change anything in the church to move forward, it takes faith to do that. Matthew 9 says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. According to your faith, it will be done to you. So what am I expecting in life? What are you expecting in life? What are we expecting for ourselves? What are we expecting for the kingdom, the church? What are we expecting? What are we having faith to believe in? I hope it'll be great things. So, life's unfair. Yeah, you've all heard that from your kids, haven't you? That's not fair. Well, get over it. No, no. I mean, life's not fair. We live in a world that there's sin, right? That there's sin in this world. You don't have to look far to see that. Just watch the news a little while. You don't have to watch it long. We were sitting there the other day, and Dad said, "Well, I'd like to know what's going on in that Meridian up there in town." Said they're shooting all the time. What's wrong with them people? He said, "You brought me down here to a place they're shooting every day." I said, "That's in Meridian, Dad. You live in Clarkdale." He said, "Well, something's wrong up there in that town." Something is wrong. Killing day after day, a sinful world. So, yeah, life's going to be unfair. You can count on that. But we can find what the Lord has for us. They said that Edison had tried so many times to get that light bulb to burn. And they said on the 200th and whatever time, he got it. And the light would stay lit. Well, he had whatever the number was, 199 reasons he knew that wouldn't work. But finally, on that 200th, whatever the number was, he got it. He learned from his mistakes. Next slide, quickly. You see, refocus. We got to stop making excuses. We got to take inventory of our lives, my life, act in faith, and then we got to refocus. Refocus my thoughts if I want to change something in me. A fresh start. Look at Proverbs 4:23. And it says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." I've got to guard my heart. I was talking about a lady at dinner last night that we knew in Virginia, and she's turned into quite an author. And she was writing all these books and stories, and asked Diana Whitener to give her a critique of her writing. And she said that it went into all this satanic things, and it was so graphic. And she said, it really took me back, and said she's our friend and all this, and said, "Do you want me to be honest?" And she said, "Yes," and said, "Why would you be so graphic in these stories about this satanic kind of thing that was going on?" She said, "I don't understand that. Why does a Christian want to fill their mind with that kind of thing?" And she said, "Well, I'll take that as a constructive criticism." But, you know, we got to be careful what we allow in our mind. Sometimes we just got to refocus on what it is. And be careful how you think, one version says there. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Your life shaped by your thoughts. And so how are you thinking? How are we thinking? Because the way we think determines how you feel, and the way you feel determines the way you act. So how's that going to be? Romans 12:2 says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your" what? Mind. Renewing of your mind. So we got to focus. Let go of some things. Pick up some things. So how do you do that? If there's wrong thoughts there, we got to confess those. We confess them to the Lord, and you say, "Well, I've done that, and I still feel guilty. What am I going to do now?" You're going to have to refocus the thought process, because if you ask Jesus to forgive you of whatever, then he does that, and you must know you're forgiven. Then refocus the thought pattern. Happy are those who are always meditating on God's word. They're like trees along the river that do not dry up. They succeed in everything they do. The psalmist said that. So think about it. So everybody wants a couple things in life. I believe everybody in here wants to be happy. I believe everybody in here wants to succeed in life, whatever that area might be. I think that's just part of who we are. And the more we meditate now on God's Word, the more we fill our mind and we renew our mind with the Word of God and our hearts with the Word of God, the more we meditate on it, the more that it comes in to the mind and the heart, the better person we'll be. It's important to meditate on God's Word, and it'll help us in life. So when things come up, and if I'm going to refocus my thoughts, and thoughts that come through that we don't like or shouldn't have, or the enemy puts them there, or wherever they come from, I've got to have my thought process focused and be meditating on the Word of God, that the truth of the Word of God trumps the thought that the enemy would send. And we have a better thought process. Okay, the T on the screen, trust God. And there we got started. A fresh start for the new year is to trust God. Depend on God. He loves you. He wants you to have abundant life. And your enemy, the devil, will try to keep you held back on the past. He'll try to keep you unforgiving. He'll try to get you hung up back here, that you will not enjoy the fullness of God that He has for a new year. And I just encourage us all, don't let that happen. Let's do these things here. Let's not make excuses. Let's take inventory of our own life. Let's act in faith. Let's refocus the thoughts. Let's trust in God and know that He's come, that we have life and have it to the full and have that abundant life. And no matter what we're going through, that we have a God, we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, that will help us get through the difficulties of life. You may be hurt. You may be scarred, you might go through tough times, but the Lord Himself will be with you. You might have all the joys you could think about in a coming year. He'll be with you in the joy. He'll be with you when life's not so joyful. Zechariah 4:6 said, "You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord." That's so important. You will not succeed on your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. By His Spirit helping us. So you're a Christian, you're saved, you've been made a new creature, a new life, and God specializes in new beginnings. So I pray, wherever we find ourselves this morning, that we'll have a fresh start in life. We'll have a new beginning. We'll take those points and put them to work in our life in a new year. So this morning, I just encourage you, wherever you're at in life, the good times are just great right now, or you're down in the valley and you think, man, what else can go wrong? I encourage you to look to the Lord in a new year. I encourage you to draw close to Him, whatever that means for you, and to know you're loved by Almighty God. There's power in the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is available to lead us and to guide us, and He will help us. Let's put some effort into it. Let's put some effort into knowing Him. Let's put some effort into the body of Christ, in the church, and start out this prayer vigil praying for people who need the Lord and praying for this church. I hope you'll sign up back there today on that and say, okay, here, I'm preparing for a new year. Here is a fresh start, and I want the Spirit of the Lord to do whatever He needs to in me to start out right. Would you stand with me? Our Lord and our God, how we thank You and praise You for the blessings that we receive from You. And Father, only You know our hearts and our minds this morning. Father, we know we can smile real big on the outside and be hurting on the inside. We know, Father, that only You know us better than we know ourselves. And You love us. You care for us. You're here this morning. The presence of God is right here today. Jesus' Spirit's right here today. The blood of Christ is available today to save a soul. So, Lord, you know us, and we're thankful you do. You know the good, you know the bad, and you still love us. So, Lord, if somebody needs to just come clean this morning and say, I need to get saved. I want the Lord to forgive me of sin. I want to live for him. A rededication of one's life, whatever term we want to use, but it'd be real with God. As Christians stand here and say this is a new year and how thankful we are for the blessings, but right here's an issue or two that I really need to stop making excuses in. I really need to take inventory here about this and maybe need to refocus here or there. I pray, Lord, that we'll do it this morning, just in the few moments we have left here. We'll be real with you in the pew around an altar. But we love you, Lord, and we know you love us, and we're praying that we will reclaim in 2017 what the devil has stolen. We pray, God, that 2017 will be a year that we see kingdom growth, that we see growth in us as individuals, and the will of the Lord be done, we pray. In Jesus' name.